turn this here. Okay, yeah, that's not going to work. One more time. No, it's good. There we go. Okay, well, I'm up here moving things around. Children can be dismissed to Children's Church. You know, as we've come today on Mother's Day, it seemed appropriate as we were continuing in the series, the God Is series, looking at all the places in Scripture that make statements. God is, and with the different statements that we've looked at, God is holy. In the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at God as a consuming fire. We've looked at God as love. Today, it seemed appropriate to deal with God's faithfulness on Mother's Day. Because typically, if we've had a good mother, we've experienced that idea of faithfulness. And I know for me, in my family, I don't know if you're like most families, I often find that when we have family gatherings that there are certain stories we repeat, certain stories that you share again and again. And one of the stories I like to remind my parents about is the time they forgot me. Time sixth grade. Some of you don't know, I was a basketball player for 1 year. Had a 100% shooting record, 1 for 1, the entire year. Is that pretty good, Jim? 1 for 1. Should have shot more, but I can still remember this night. Of course, winter in Clearfield, and I'm waiting, and I left. I'm standing outside waiting, and I saw every player go, every player get picked up. I saw the coaches all leave, and again, we didn't have cell phones then, so I waited and waited and waited, and finally realized they're not coming. So I knew where there was a payphone and a few blocks away. So I walked to the payphone, called, no answer. Long story short, both my mom and my dad thought the other one was picking me up. So that's the story in the McCracken home. That is the day that my parents forgot me. The reason that story, though, I like to give my mom and dad a hard time with that. Of course, it ended well for me. I got treated to Pizza Hut that night. So I think there was a little bit of guilt involved in that meal, but you know, I share that story, and one of the reasons it's funny is, for me, that was the exception. My mom and my dad were consistently there for me, and as a parent, I get the idea that sometimes we just drop the ball. We get confused, life is busy, we miss things, but you know, it stood out. That story stands out in my personal experience because it's in contrast to what most of my experience was with my parents, and especially my mother. And thinking about on Mother's Day, when we celebrate not only our mothers, but as we celebrate our wives and celebrate the women that God has placed in your life who have been faithful, I think it's important that we remember. That's why we have a gift for all the ladies today, because the reality is we have all had women speak into our lives that have demonstrated consistency and faithfulness and love, and really reflect the heart of God when they do that. And so thank you to all, not only the mothers, but to thank you to all the women who have poured into the lives of others, and encourage you to continue to do that. But, you know, as we think about this subject that God is faithful, I just want you to think for a moment as I share that story of how one moment of my parents forgetting me really just stands in contrast to their consistent faithfulness. I want you to think, what are the examples of faithfulness that really speak to you? And what does it really mean to be faithful? Years ago when I was in Pittsburgh, we partnered with some ministries at Allegheny County Jail. And it was interesting. I was talking to one of the leaders there that attended our church. He was explaining, he said, you know, every year they make Father's Day cards and Mother's Day cards available to the inmates. The only difference, the big difference, though, when they do that is they don't need many Father's Day cards. You know, think about it. Those that are in the county jail, Mother's Day, they're all sending cards. They're sending multiple cards. They're sharing their appreciation to the mothers that have invested in them, and the women that have invested in their life. But fathers weren't there in their lives. So they experienced that. It was a very visual picture of how they had experienced the faithfulness of mother and not experienced the faithfulness of the father. you know, as we consider God's faithfulness, I just want you to think, what does that mean to be faithful? And think for yourself, not only our mothers, but who are the people in your life that you have been able to consistently count on? Who are the people in your life that have consistently been there for you? Because when you begin to answer those questions and think about those individuals, you begin to have a better glimpse of what faithfulness really is. And as we understand faithfulness and understand that God is described throughout the Scripture as being a faithful God, there's a great hope and a comfort that comes from knowing that God is faithful. So that no matter what you're facing, no matter what challenges you might be facing, you can rest and you can trust and you can find hope in the truth that God is faithful. You know, we see in 1 Corinthians 1:9 and 10:13, these are two places in Scripture where you see the actual phrase, God is faithful. But the theme of God's faithfulness is all through the Scriptures. So I just want to read these two verses, though, because these were the ones that were the triggers when I did the study of all the God is statements in Scripture. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, to our Lord. And in 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I mean, even in the practical sense, that first 1:9 is the general statement of God's faithfulness that has called us into relationship with him. And then you have that specific statement in verse 13 of chapter 10 that in light of when we face temptation, when we face trials, we can know that God is faithful and he's there with us. Those general statements are speak to this truth, that God is faithful. And we're going to look at a couple passages here in a moment that unpack that and what really faithfulness means. But just to give us a general definition to understand faithfulness, I want us to, again, think, what does it mean to really be faithful? What does it mean for someone to be faithful? What does it mean for God to be faithful? If you look in the next slide, or it's right there. You're right there with me. Thank you, guys. If you look at all the themes of faithfulness in Scripture, as well as look even at just some of the definitions of faithfulness, they're key words you'll see again and again. You'll see the word of loyal, consistent, sometimes steadfast, reliable. You can depend upon. That's why, again, the story of my parents forgetting me stands out, and we can laugh at it because it was the exception in our house. My parents were consistently there for me. They were dependable. They were faithful. Too often I just took that for granted. And yet I look back and I realize as I've walked with people over the years and that were not blessed in that way and had maybe a challenge in the relationship with their parents, I've realized just how grateful I am for the parents that God gave me. But, you know, those words, loyal, consistent, reliable, depend upon, those are all key themes. And the best definition I found, this is one of Webster's definitions that I think fits the biblical theme as well, means that it's having or showing true and constant support and loyalty. It's not just showing, but it's having and showing true and constant support and loyalty. All those words I just mentioned are consistent with that truth. When we look at that and we apply that to God, about God being reliable, about God being loyal, being consistent, someone that we can depend on, I realize that one of the key messages throughout the Old Testament that is reaffirmed in the New Testament is that God, being a faithful God, is consistent and faithful to fulfill his end of the relationship with each one of us. In what the Old Testament described as a covenant relationship, that when God entered into relationship with Abraham and then with Israel, that idea of a covenant, they were in a contract together. Israel again and again celebrated not only God's faithfulness, but he celebrated God's steadfast love, his covenant loyalty. That no matter how many times Israel may have fallen short, no matter how many times they were unfaithful, they could celebrate a God who was faithful and who was consistently there for them. One of the things we'll see in a moment when we look at two passages of Scripture, one in Deuteronomy 7 and one in Lamentations 3, is that when we look and we really reflect on God's faithfulness and how it is consistently connected to this idea of a covenant relationship, the relationship that God invites us into, is that our relationship with God rests on God choosing us. Our relationship with God rests on God choosing us, on God loving us, and God being faithful to his covenant relationship with us. God chose us. He loved us. He chose us in love. And God is consistently faithful to that covenant relationship and always holds up on his end of the bargain and in the relationship that we experience with him. Let's look briefly at two passages of Scripture this morning as we celebrate God's faithfulness. First, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." The Lord your God is the faithful God. And again, see the context here. It says, who keeps the covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations. If we take this verse and look at the setting and what's actually happening here with these words, these are God's words to his people Israel, right? They've now been delivered from Egypt and they're prepared to receive the promised land that God has given them. And God has given the Ten Commandments. He's given his law. And he's shares in verses 6 through 8, he says, For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be the people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Now listen to this. I'm sorry, this is not on the screen. Verse 7, it says, it is not because you were more in number than any other, that the Lord set more in any number than any other people, that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. Basically saying, look, there were a lot of different people that God could have chosen. And God is telling Israel, he says, it's not because of you. It's not based on who you were, based on your number, and that God looked and said, oh, this is a winner here. I'm going to pick Abraham. I'm going to pick this nation. He says it's not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. Verse 8, it says, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He's saying it's nothing about you. It's the fact that I chose you and I'm pouring out my love on you and I'm being consistent and I'm committed to the relationship, this covenant relationship that I've created with you. Verse 9 then says, know therefore that the Lord your God is the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Our relationship with God is not based on what we do. We have to walk in obedience. We have to walk in faith and trust him. But the true foundation of our relationship with God, just like Israel, is trusting what God has done for us. It's God who chose us. It's God's love that sustains us. And it's God's faithfulness that sustains the relationship. How many times have you come to a place, if those of you that have walked with God for any length of time, have been well aware of your unfaithfulness and the times that you've fallen short of what God wants for you, and you've been reminded of God's love and his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness in your life? It's God's love and his faithfulness that sustains us. Second verse I want to look at, Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Now look real clearly, and I tried to put this in bold here. There's three key statements here of why the person writing this lament is saying that I can trust the Lord to be my portion. I can put my hope in him. One, because of the steadfast love of the Lord. Two, because his mercies are never ending. His mercies are never coming to an end. And then three, great is your faithfulness. And now, basically, the mercies of God are sandwiched between two statements of God's faithfulness. Most of your translations don't use the word faithfulness, but that first word, the steadfast love of the Lord, that word, steadfast love, it is a word that reflects God's covenant faithfulness. It's in the Hebrew. I think I've shared this before. I don't typically quote a lot of Hebrew, but it's my favorite Hebrew word, so I'm going to share it. It's God's chesed. You got to get that guttural noise in your throat when you say it. It's God's chesed. That word is it often most, and in the King James, I believe it's that the loving, possibly the loving kindness, but it's that steadfast love, that consistent love. Very similar, reflected what Denver was sharing this morning, and even in his words of just knowing it's God's love that sustains us, his faithfulness. So you have this statement about God's mercy sandwiched between these two statements of God's faithfulness. You have his steadfast faithfulness. No matter how many times Israel fell short in their relationship with God, they celebrated God's steadfast love, that he always was there for them. He was consistent. He was faithful. And that's paired again. These are the same two words that are paired in the Deuteronomy passage that we looked at. God's steadfast love and faithfulness and God's faithfulness. Those statements brought together to remind us that we can trust him, that we can put our hope in him because God consistently shows himself to be faithful. Most of us, though, if we're honest, we find it easy to trust God's faithfulness when things are going well. And yet when life throws us a curveball, when we're walking in difficult trials and circumstances, that's where it's more of a challenge, more of a step of faith to have to trust God's faithfulness. And I say that, and this I'm beginning to love the Lamentations, whether the laments in the Psalms or right from the book of Lamentations. But I guess the more life experience I have and the more I walk with people through difficulties, the more I find this honesty very real and powerful. But you see in this passage in Lamentations 3, if you look at the verses just prior to this, we understand that it's the person writing this lament, something this might be Jeremiah. We don't really know for sure who wrote this lament. We know Jeremiah could be a possibility because Jeremiah he was known as the weeping prophet. He was known as someone who experienced a lot of sorrow and tragedy. But whoever wrote this, things were not going well for them. Things were not going well for the person who wrote these words. And in true form of a lament, he's expressing his frustration. He's expressing his pain. And then there's a transition to a statement of faith. And if you look at verse 19, it says, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me." He's beaten down. He's going through trials. He's going through afflictions. He's aware of Israel being aware of their wanderings, the times that they've been unfaithful, that they've drifted away from their relationship with God. They're realizing that their life is not in a good place. And their soul says they're continually remembering this affliction, continue to remember their failings, and that it's bowed down within me. Their heads are low. There's pain, there's sorrow, there's regret. But then, again, true form of any lament, verse 21, there's a key word, a little word, but. "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." And so he's talking about the trials he's facing, but in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the difficulty that has him beaten down, he says, "But this I call to mind. I remember this statement." And these are the words of what he remembers. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." You know, if you really pause here for a second and look at what this lament is showing us, there's a key. For those of you that are here and you're struggling with difficulties and you're having a hard time trusting God's faithfulness, I want you to zero in on verse 21 and verse 24 in this passage. It's after he shares in verse 19 about the trials and the difficulties and his wanderings, his failures. He then goes on in verse 20, then makes a statement, says that, he says in verse 21, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." Think about the word, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. That's verse 21. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says the Lord, therefore I will hope in him. The statement that we said or looked at in this passage, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end, they are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. That statement of truth is what this person, when they're going through the difficulties and going through the trials, they remind themselves. They bring this, they call this to their mind. And when they take the time to pause and reflect and remember this truth, it leads them to hope. Whatever you're facing today, I want to encourage you to don't just walk out of here thinking, well, I just got to try harder to trust God. I got to try harder to just put my hope in him. Make the connection in verse 21 and 24 in this passage that the way that this individual is able to put their hope in God is because they're taking the time to remember God's faithfulness. He's bringing it to his mind. He's calling this truth to mind, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, that his mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. And then it's out of remembering all the times that God has been faithful, that then you can easily move to that place of trust and resting in him. We need to remember and celebrate God's faithfulness. And two practical things that you can do to help with this. Some of you, I know, keep a prayer journal. I encourage you, if you don't do it, it's a great practice. But it's always amazing. Some of you that do keep this, I've heard you share your stories, that you go back over your life and you read your journal, and you see some of the challenges and the trials you were facing, and then you saw how God answered prayer. And whether you keep a journal or not, the reality is if you take the time to reflect on your life, if you take the time to reflect and call to mind all the times in the past that God has been faithful, it's that much more easy in the present and in the future to trust God and to trust his faithfulness. The more we look back and the more we remember and celebrate the way that God has been faithful to us in the past, the more we can step out and trust him in the present, in the future, to know that we can trust a God who is consistently there for us. We need to remember and celebrate his faithfulness. Write out your prayer journal. Tell the stories. Take some time to reflect and to celebrate all the times in the past that God has been there for you, the times that God has been faithful to you. And you'll have the confidence to know that you can trust God to be faithful, and you can put your hope in him. Today, as we take time to share the stories of how our mothers and other godly women have impacted our life, I encourage you, take the time to share the stories. Don't go out and tell all the bad stories like I did about the times your mom forgot you or how they maybe dropped the ball. Take some time to share don't just say thank you to the women in your life. Give some practical examples of how someone has been there for you. And again, look beyond just your birth mother. Look at the women in your life that have really been an influence in your life. You know, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to share a negative story about my mom without coming to her defense a bit and sharing some of the positives. But, you know, as I think about my whole life, when I had a problem, I knew that I could go to my mom. And that even the hymn that we sang about running into God's arms, knowing we can trust him, that brought back images of me as a kid. Fell, got hurt. I didn't run to dad, I ran to mom. I knew I could go to mom. Over the years, as I've gotten older, I've learned to not tell my mom all my problems because it just stresses her out. It's a good lesson there for some of you kids that are dumping everything on your parents. But it's good to know. It's good to know that I celebrate this truth, that if I have something I really need to just talk to my mother and bounce things off of her to get wisdom, to get encouragement, I know my mom, even though I know it's probably going to stress her out, I know I can go and I can call my mom, I can talk to her, because she's consistently been faithful. She's consistently been there for me. She's always had a listening ear, and I can trust her. You know, God desires us to have that type of relationship with him, that no matter what you're going through, that he wants you to come to that place where that you would just put your faith in him, you would trust him, and let him show his faithfulness in your life. The more that you've done that, if we were to take the time today, we could probably go on for hours if I ask some of you to share the many ways that God has demonstrated his faithfulness in your life and in practical ways over the years, if you don't have a story like that to tell, I encourage you to test God. Let God show his faithfulness. Trust him. That all begins with trusting Jesus and trusting what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We enter into a relationship of trusting God and his love and his faithfulness in our life. It's my prayer for each of us today as we wrap up this Mother's Day that we not only celebrate the women in our life that have been faithful, but that we would be drawn into a relationship with God where we celebrate God's faithfulness in our life, and that we continue to tell the stories of how he's been faithful to help us to continue to put our hope and our trust in him. We pray with me. Ask the musicians to come. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. You are a faithful, a loving God. And Lord, when you call us into relationship with you, you do call us to, Lord, come to a place of faith and trusting you and walking in obedience. And yet, Lord, we know that even in our best efforts, we will at times fall short. And how incredible to know, Lord, that whether it was with Israel, whether it's us and as we walk in relationship with your son Jesus, Lord, to know that it is your steadfast love, your faithfulness that we can rest in, that we know that you chose us, that you love us, and you're consistently there for us. Lord, help us to just trust your faithfulness this day, to put our hope in you. Lord, help us to have hearts of thanksgiving and being able to declare all the many ways that you have been faithful to our lives. Lord, that we might go out and walk in confidence, knowing that in the future, in the present and the future, we can trust you. We can put our hope in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.